Last week, we began week two of our Freeway series by talking about awareness. If you were here, you remember that we played around with some of the exercises that helped show us that we're not as aware as we think we are. Right? If you'll remember, we watched a video over here of some kids passing a ball around, and you were counting the balls being passed by the white team, right? But I think everyone in the room completely missed the moonwalking bear that was going across the screen. Right? Because you were so focused on counting the passes. So you see, we're not as aware as we think we are. There are literally millions of bits of information passing into your eyes and your ears and your nose right this moment. Millions of bits of information. But we're only aware of a very, very small fraction of all that information. In fact, if I were to ask you right now, and I will ask you right now, how much of all that information, percentage-wise, do you think that you're aware of? Anybody have a guess? 5%. 5%? Anybody else? More? Less?
My wife says very little.
Your wife says very little. Your wife is right. In fact, it's actually somewhere between 2 and 5%. 2 and 5% of all the information going into our eyes and our ears and our nose right now, that's all we're aware of. That means that 95 to 98% of what is going on around us right at this very moment, you don't have a clue about. At least not a conscious clue. If awareness is the first step towards freedom, as we looked at last week, then our questions this week is, how do you become aware? The short answer is, awareness requires discovery. We become aware of things, you see, by uncovering things about ourselves, by finding, observing, and recognizing what's going on within us and around us, things that have been hidden or covered up from our sight. Pretty simple, right? We can all go home now and do that. Yeah, not so much. In fact, discovery is a difficult process in many cases. It's a process that can be scary and uncomfortable. Lastly, I suggested one tool for this process. If you'll remember, that was the five whys. And I gave you an example from the Toyota car company. That if you want to get to the root cause of any problem in your life, whether it's an automotive problem or whether it's a real life problem, you have to dig deep by asking why. Why? Why? Because the first few answers you uncover are typically symptoms of deeper issues in your life. So I gave you that Toyota engineering example last week, but today I want to look at a real life example. If you missed that engineering example and you're curious because your mind works like an engineer, you can go listen to those online. But today, let's say you've been angry with your spouse lately. Anybody get angry with your spouse from time to time? Y'all are being truthful. And if you don't have a spouse, you ever get angry with a friend or a mother or a father or a child? So we all get angry from time to time. Let's say this particular situation is over that important person in your life being late consistently. And it's driving you nuts. So you sit down with yourself to try to create some awareness within yourself. Now you could go and you could just launch into an argument about them being late, right? But no, you're gonna take it slow and have some patience, and you're gonna look inside yourself first and say, why is this person being late affecting me so much? Good place to start. We don't often start there, but it's a good place to start. So you ask yourself, why? Why am I so angry? First, you come to this answer. Well, it's easy. The first answer is easy. Because my spouse is late, or that person in my life is important, is always late. Okay, great. Why are you angry because he or she is late, though? Well, because he doesn't call and he isn't being courteous with his time, right? Okay, that's a little bit deeper, but why does that make you angry? And so you think to yourself some more. Well, it's because she does that a lot. She does it so much that it's just beginning to get on the nerves. Okay, well, we're getting a little further along, but why does the amount of lateness make such a big difference? And so you think some more. Well, because I feel discounted and unimportant to him. Okay, now we're beginning to get somewhere. So why are you angry about that? And you think some more. You think to yourself, honestly, it's because I'm afraid that the person doesn't really care about me anymore. And I'm not strong enough to handle that. Ooh, now we've gotten somewhere, right? Somewhere deep. You see, that anger that's flittering around on the surface is really about a fear deep down that you're not strong enough, that you're not valuable enough to someone important in your life. And you can talk about being late with that person. You can argue about it. You can work out a plan for communication about being late. You can minimize the amount of times that he or she is late. But none of that is going to address the deep, deep fears that you have. And I'm not saying don't do those things, because they could be an important part of the process too. But if you really want to deal with the anger that you're experiencing, you've got to start looking at those fears. Because discovering that fear makes you aware of what is really going on so deep within you. What's really going on with the symptoms of anger and hurt. Discovering that fear can help begin to heal you from what is going down so deep within you that's at the root of the problem. Let me say it more simply. Discovery is where real healing happens. I want you to hold on to that idea, this truth, if you will, for the rest of today. Discovery is where real healing happens. As you hold on to that, I'd like you to join me in reading a story from the book of John, the Gospel of John, found in chapter 9. It's a story of discovery, although we don't always read it that way. John chapter 9, beginning the first verse. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus' disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned so that he was born blind? This man or his parents?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. This happened so that God's mighty works might be displayed in him. For when it's daytime, we must do the works of him who sent me. But night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said this, he spit on the ground. And he made mud with his saliva, and he smeared it on the man's eyes. Jesus said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went away and washed. And when he returned, he could see. Now you can finish reading that story, and I encourage you to do so over this week. And I'm going to refer to some parts that come later, but I hope you'll keep it in your mind for right now. We tend to read this story as a miracle healing story. And it is that, in part. But there's a lot more going on in this story as well. Jesus' disciples, you see, are walking along the road with Jesus, and they become curious about this blind man that they see. So they ask Jesus about him. They ask him a question. Pay attention to that. This story begins with a question, and it ends with a healing. Think about that. Healing, you see, begins with curiosity, with questions. So if discovery is where real healing happens, then it begins by being curious and asking questions about ourselves and about the world around us. On the front of your bulletin, if you'll pull it out right now, there's a quote at the top, and it's a little faint, but I hope you can see it well enough. It says, "Curiosity is one of the greatest secrets of happiness." Curiosity is one of the great secrets of happiness. You see, if you want the joy and the freedom that comes when you're healed of the pain and the hurt and the frustration of your life, then you begin the journey by being curious about your life, by asking questions about yourself, questions that lead you to something deeper, to some awareness. But here's the thing. We're not always curious about our life, are we? Even the blind man in this story wasn't curious about his own life, was he? At least not from what we read here in this story. The blind man didn't ask the questions. The disciples were the ones who were curious and asked the questions. It often takes another person in our life to help ask the questions that we need to pay attention to. You might consider that for yourself. Who in your life is helping you ask those questions? Somebody close? Maybe. Maybe if there's not someone close enough, maybe you should go seek someone out, professional or otherwise, that can help ask those questions in your life. But isn't that always how it is with us? We're curious about everyone and everything else around us except for ourselves. We're curious about nature, about the universe, curious about how things work, curious about other people. Too curious often about other people. We gossip and we snoop and we poke around and pry into other people's lives all the time. And you know it's true. It's fun. We love learning about other people. Whether it's social media or newspapers, and I have to mention this. You know, you get the Daily Record each week, and there's something in small town papers like ours that's different in other papers. There's that section on the back. Somewhere here in the back, it's like all the DUIs and the arrest records and all that kind of stuff. Because we're so curious about what's going on in the life of those people. But we often don't take time to sit down and be curious about what's going on in our own life. Friends, we need to stop being so concerned about other people's lives, why they tick and what their motivations are, and start being more concerned about our own. So why aren't we? And why wasn't the blind man in the story that we just read? Well, if you keep reading the book of John, you keep reading the rest of chapter 9, and read on into chapter 10, you hear over and over people talking about this man's blindness coming from his sin. Because that's what people in this day and age believed. If you were born blind, then that was a result of sin. Sin in your life, or sin in the life of your parents, or somewhere back in your family generations ago. Now imagine how that belief and those accusations, and the beginning in that question that you hear from the disciples, who sinned to make this man sick. Imagine how that belief, that accusation, was affecting this man born blind. Did he believe that about himself? That his blindness was a result of some sin in his life? Was he afraid that he had sinned? Is it possible that he had spent his entire life trying to figure out this sin in his life that caused this blindness to no avail? For he was still blind. Or maybe he was too scared to even ask that question. Scared of what others would think about it. Scared of being vulnerable with himself or certainly with other people. Scared of what he might discover about himself. Maybe at the end of the day, he just wanted to know that he was a valuable human being. Maybe he just wanted everything to be okay. And the thought of it not being okay was terrifying. The truth is, I think we're all scared to be curious about our own lives. Maybe in ways similar to this blind man, maybe not. I think we're oftentimes scared of what we'll find in our lives about ourselves. Scared because of what the world has told us about ourselves. Scared that we're not okay. And certainly scared for anyone else to find out that we're not okay. Scared that we're not good enough. Not strong enough. To make it through whatever is binding us up or holding us back. But if we want healing and change in our lives, we will have to face our fears with courage. We'll have to boldly say, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. We don't always have that much courage about ourselves. Think about how we greet one another. On a Sunday morning or on any morning, whether you're at your job or where you volunteer, we say, how are you today? We typically respond with something like, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm okay. But what's the truth? Are you fine or good or okay? Or are there things going on in your life that are not so great? Things that are troubling you? Things that aren't good? things that aren't even okay with you. So why don't we say so when we ask one another? Why don't we stuff all those not okay things down and hide them under the cushions of our couch and swallow them and shove them deep down inside of us to put on a smile that says, I'm good. We all want to be okay. And the world certainly expects us to be okay, whether we're at a job, whether we're community leaders, whether we're parents or volunteers. But the truth is, none of us is okay all the time. So let's stop pretending. I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. Let's stop pretending, at the very least, in this place. You see, there's tough stuff in all our lives, and if we have to put on a mask everywhere else we go in the world, job, work, and volunteering, and all here and there, maybe we could agree that church, that our family of faith, that people who love and serve God together, that this could be the one place we can come to where our mess is okay. Because this is the place where we share our mess and find that we are still loved. This is the place we come that lifts up our messes together in prayer, where we walk with one another through the mess of life, supporting and encouraging. Even when we put a mask on everywhere else in life to cover up the tough stuff, here in church, let's agree that it's okay to not be okay. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that are actually fed up with the church because they know it's supposed to be a place where you bring the mess of life and find rest and renewal and comfort. But when they go to church, they see something altogether different. They see more people wearing more masks. They see everyone so dressed up, literally and metaphorically, that they cover up the mess of their life with clothes and cars and children and an air of put-togetherness. Some of it's a sign of respect, but some of it is a big show. Fake. Or at least not the whole truth about ourselves, right? Because we're not okay all the time. But there's people out there who are longing for a church that is real and authentic. And so what if they began to come to a church where mess was okay, where pain was okay, where people were just people, where smiles weren't fake and troubles were welcome, where tough questions were asked and not one cliche answer was given? They might just discover that they want to belong to a church like if we want to reach other people and if we want to find healing in our own lives, we have to have the courage and the audacity to say, it's okay not to be okay. And if we can say that and live it and practice it together, then we'll be able to ask those deep and curious questions about ourselves, knowing that freedom and healing are coming. And that's exactly what happens in the story of the blind man. If you look back there with me and listen and pay attention to what everyone discovers in this story, because the disciples are bold enough to be curious and ask a question. They ask Jesus, who sinned that made this man born blind? Jesus responds, there's no sin. What are you talking about? No one did anything wrong to make this man blind. Think about that. The disciples begin with a question based on the world's point of view, a world that said blindness comes from sin. They ask it, and Jesus pushes them deeper. He tells them, what the world says about you, it's not true. Not every mess in your life is a result of something you did wrong. Can you believe that? Going to a lot of churches and every mess around you has got to blame sin. You're sinning. But not every mess in your life is a result of something you did wrong. The truth is, we deal with messes in life that have nothing to do with us. We deal with them every day. messes that we didn't cause that aren't even our fault. Just think about this hurricane that's come recently. People all over the place dealing with a literal mess. Not their fault. Unless you want to believe those crazy religious nuts out there that are saying it's God's wrath on people. No, there's forces in nature, folks, that cause storms to swirl up in the ocean. And there's other forces that push and pull those storms. You want to blame that on God? I'll say you have a capricious God. And I don't believe that. The truth is, we all deal with mess in life. And they aren't always our fault. But you'll keep pointing to the wrong thing, like the disciples do in this story. You'll keep pointing to some sin that doesn't exist until you get courageous and curious and ask questions about the stuff in life that's not okay. Because courage leads to curiosity. And curiosity asks questions. And questions lead to discovery. And discovery creates awareness. And awareness is a step on the path to healing and freedom. Now, here's the last thing that I'm going to leave you with today. I want you to look at that blind man again one more time. And notice the most funny part of the story. What happens to him, you see, is just ridiculous. Right? I mean, this man is minding his own business. He doesn't approach Jesus, but Jesus walks up to him and, pay attention, spits on the ground, rubs that spit in some mud and makes a mud spit cake, picks it up and puts it on the man's eyes and smears it around. Think about that for a minute. That's gross. That's inappropriate. That's awkward. Uncomfortable. There's nothing about this scene that's normal. We so often just read right over it. We don't even laugh. This is hilarious. Now think about what that blind man, though. Think about what he has to be thinking to himself. It's bad enough that everybody around me assumes that I'm blind because of some sin in my life. And now this guy comes up to me and throws mud and spits in my face. Pretty harsh, Jesus. Pretty harsh. But you see, on the journey of discovery, as we ask questions, things tend to get uncomfortable before they get better. And this is true for all of us. Once we begin to ask questions about ourselves, we may embark upon an uncomfortable journey where things get messy and dirty before they get better. We may have to face our worst fears and our darkest demons. And that will be tough and uncomfortable. But there's good news. For you see, Christ is with us, just as he was with this blind man. Christ is calling us in the midst of the mess of life, in the midst of the uncomfortableness, in the midst of this journey of discovery that doesn't feel so good. And Christ says, go and wash it off. You see, that's what awareness does for us. You can't wash something clean in your life until you first become aware that it's there in the first place. You'll never even know you need a bath. So, are you worried about a spouse or a child or a significant other in your life being late all the time? Does that make you angry? Does that say to you deep down a fear that you might not be valuable anymore? Well, now that you know that that's your deepest fear about the surface level problem of anger in your life, now you can begin to wash yourself clean. The soap and the water, they'll probably involve a conversation with your spouse, with yourself, about that fear of being valuable. And that might be uncomfortable. Might be tough. And it may take a few scrubbings to get rid of all the dirt and the grime of that fear. But the good news is that Christ is with you and you will be clean. And isn't that all that we all really want? To be washed clean from the dirt and the mess of life that resides in our deepest thoughts and our darkest fears? To be free from the mess that we often try to cover up with clothes and cars and makeup and plastic smiles? And to find a place where we have people who will love us in spite of the mess and walk with us when we're afraid and celebrate with us when we see the first glimpses of healing and freedom. Freedom, you see, requires awareness. And awareness requires discovery. And discovery is where real healing happens. And that begins by saying it's okay. It's okay to not be okay. So that you can look at all the not okay stuff in your life, so that you can look at it square in the face and be curious and ask questions about all that not okay stuff. And while things will get uncomfortable before they'll get better along this journey, you will discover something new and amazing about yourself. So that at the end of your journey, you will look back and you'll realize that all along, you are, you were, you will be stronger, more valuable, more beautiful, and more amazing than you ever thought possible. May it be so with each of us.